say it with me? This is my Bible. I am what it says that I am. I can do what it says I can do. I can have what it says I can have. Today, I will be taught the Word of God. My mind is alert. My heart is receptive. I'll not leave the same as I came, in Jesus' name. And every time I come to Church on the Rock, my life, my faith gets stronger and stronger. Sunday morning shout, can you give it to the Lord? Amen. Y'all sound so good today. Open your Bible to 1 Peter, if you would please. 1 Peter chapter 5. 1 Peter chapter 5. We're in a series on spiritual warfare. We're in a series talking about how do you deal with the worst day in your life? How do you deal with those rough seasons, those rough chapters? How do you deal when you feel like giving up? What do you do when you're at your wit's end? What do you do when you've done everything that you know to do? How do you get through the most difficult moments of your life? We call that spiritual warfare. And we've been looking at it, so let's just pick it up today. Let's go right to the Word of God. Let the Word of God speak to you today. 1 Peter chapter 5, and let's look at verse 8. Be careful, watch out for attacks from Satan, your great enemy. Now let's break it down, church. Here it tells us who our enemy is, doesn't it? That white people are not our enemy. Black people are not our enemy. Brown people are not our enemy. People of a different ethnic background are not our enemy. Rich people, poor people, educated, non-educated, they are not our enemy. Who is our enemy? Satan. Satan is our enemy. He's behind every attack going on in your life today. Satan is behind every attack going on in your life today. Everyone in this room, I don't need a Ouija board. I don't need tarot cards to tell you that I know you are under an attack. The Bible says all that are godly will suffer persecution. If you're in this faith walk, if you're a Christian, if you're a follower of Christ, you are under attack. If you're letting your light shine, if you're being salt, if you're influencing your world, you are under attack. I know I don't need a Ouija board. I don't need tarot cards. I don't need a certain telephone number for someone to tell me what kind of attack you're under. As your pastor, I know. You do? I know that the attack you're under is either emotional or relational. Every attack is spiritual, but it's either emotional or it's relational. For example, emotional, again, it could be depression, worry, fear, fretting, anxiety, panic, all those emotions, insecurity. It could be all those emotions up and down. But also, it's either emotional or it's relational. It doesn't just have to be with people. It can be your relation with money, your relationship with money. It can be your relationship with your hobbies, your idols. It can be a relationship with your career. Anything I put before God is an idol. Can I have a yes in the house today? So either we're struggling in the emotional arena or we're struggling and under attack in the relational arena. It doesn't have to be with family or friends or foes. It doesn't have to be with people. It can also be relationship with money. Are you over it or is it over you? Are you in control or does it control you? Your job, your career. Last night I said, you know, I haven't seen so-and-so in Saturday Night Church for a long time. I asked one of our leaders, where are they at? They said, well, I talked to them the other day and they said they couldn't come to church on the weekends now because they got another job. How many know that's wrong? That's dead wrong. Is that God comes before your job. And surely God can make a way where you can have a successful career and be plugged in to a local fellowship where you can grow. So we're not blaming anybody. I'm just counseling, helping, guiding, leading that relationship with their career. That relationship is actually bringing them under attack. it won't last long going that direction. So we're all under attack. Satan is behind our attack. The attacks that we're under are spiritual, but either they're in the realm of emotions or in relationship to something or someone. Am I helping anybody so far? All right, Satan is his name. His name in heaven was Lucifer. He was the worship leader. He got kicked out. His name today is not devil. His name is Satan. Devil is his job description. Devil is his job description. Devil is Satan's job description. How does he attack? He attacks in the area of our emotions or our relationship to things or people. How does he attack us? He attacks us by deviling us. The word devil means to throw, to hurl, repetitively, habitually, until he penetrates. So what is that? That's the fiery darts. What are those fiery darts? Lies. The Bible says that the devil is a liar, and he's the father of all liars. Amazing, isn't it? So when he comes to you and tells you something, you need to mark it down. That is a lie, right? If you believe that lie, it'll become a stronghold in your life. So he attacks us in the area of our emotions or our relationships. How does he attack you? By deviling you, by throwing lies at your mind. The place and the battleground of warfare is between our ears. So he's throwing habitually. He never gives up, does he? He habitually and repetitively throws lies at your mind until he penetrates and gets into your thought process. The devil wants you to give up your faith and trust in God. He wants you to give up your walk as a Christian. So he keeps throwing lies at you. God, if he was a good God, why did that happen? Why is it taking so long? Why hasn't it come to pass? Why is it so hard? Why did they do that? Why didn't they do that? And he keeps throwing those fiery darts until he penetrates the way you think. Because if he can control the way we think, he can control the way we feel. If he can control the way you feel, he'll control the way you behave or your actions. Am I helping somebody still this morning? So I want to make it real simple. You know, the greatest compliment I can get is I had a gentleman tell me on the way out in the 9 o'clock service, "Pastor, I've never heard it more simple. I've been going to church all my life. I've never heard it more simple than this morning." I did my job. Amen. I want to make it so simple that you understand why it's hard, why the challenge, what to do in the hardest times of your life. Who's behind it? Satan. What are you under? An attack. What area of your life? Either in the emotional arena or the relationships arena. What does he do? He devils you. That's his job description, not his name. His name is Satan. How does he devil you? He throws lies at you. How often? Every day, 7/24. He never gives up till he penetrates and changes the way you think. If he can change the way you think, he'll change the way you feel. If he changes the way you feel, then you'll do what you feel like doing and stay home from church. Right? And stop reading our Bible, stop paying our tithe, stop serving the Lord. If we all did what we wanted to do, we'd all be doing something differently probably today than what we're doing. But we don't do what our feelings say because we are in control of our flesh. Can I have a yes in the house today? We're winning that war. Amen? All right. So it says, be careful, watch out for attacks from Satan, your great enemy. So Satan is his name. What's he doing? Attacking us. How does he do it? With the fiery darts, deviling us to penetrate the way we think. And notice, he's our enemy, not people. He prowls around like a hungry, roaring lion looking for a victim. Everybody say victim. He can't destroy every Christian, brother and sister, only those who are feeling sorry for themselves. Only those who live like a victim. We can't live like a victim and have victory. I want to help you get set free from the mentality of a victim. Pastor, what is a victim? It's a person who feels sorry for themselves. It's a person who lives and blames other people, makes excuses. It's always somebody else's fault. It's always somebody else. It's they did this, they did that. They won't accept the blame. They won't accept responsibility. They make excuses. They're jealous. They're envious. All the above. That person is a victim. That person is an open target for the devil to come in to steal, kill, and destroy. So we're in this fight. It's a good fight of faith. I told you last week three things. If you weren't here, you might want to write them down. Takeaway: how do we win the fight? How do we win the battle? How do we get through the hardest times of our life? Number one, with a good confession. Everybody say good confession. So notice you got to have a good confession to have a good fight. A good confession. What do you mean, Pastor? You have to, if you want to win the fight, speak faith-filled words. You have to speak faith-filled words. So that's so important. It's so important that tomorrow morning, we're going to be teaching your children at VBS on how to make a good confession. Let's watch it together.
I am a child of the Most High God. I believe, I succeed, and I have good health.
No weapons only gives me sharp points. I can do all things to Christ that strengthens me.
I am bold. I am strong. I am free.
For the greater one who lives in me, and if God be for me, who can dare be against me?
God is for me.
Oh, isn't that awesome? Isn't that awesome? Yeah. Just think how their life's going to be, amen, learning how to have a good confession. You see, now, not in our church, but in some churches I've been in, I'll teach on good confession, a good fight. I'll go out into the, see, I'm looking back here, so I'm not looking at anybody. And I'll teach on it. I'll go out into the lobby, and the first thing I hear out of somebody's mouth is negativity, cynicism, being cynical, being sarcastic. And I'm thinking, were they in that service that I just saw? Now, I'm not talking to Church on the Rock. I'm talking to another church in a galaxy far, far, far away. Amen. So now I'm back here. So you got to have a good confession. You got to talk like it's so, when it ain't so, so it can become so. Number two, never let go of the promises of God. How to get through the tough times of life. The darkest hours of your life, the biggest battles that you're in, how to get through it is never let go of what God has promised you. No matter how you're feeling today, no matter how long you've been believing for, don't let go of what God has promised you. You may have dream busters in your life. You may have people who rain on your parade, people who are always so negative. Don't allow them to cause you to let go of what God has promised you. For some of the things that God has promised me, they haven't come to pass yet, but I'm not gonna let go. I'm gonna fight a good fight. I'm gonna finish my race, and I'm gonna say, I fought a good fight. How about you? Amen? So you're gonna have to fight in order to finish. You're gonna have to fight the impulses, the circumstances, the situations, the emotions, the lies that the devil throws at you to give up and to quit. My brother and sister, never, I'm going to quote Winston Churchill, never, never, never give up. Don't ever give up. So number one, a good confession, a good fight. Number two, don't let go of the promises of God. There are 7,000 in the Bible. And number three, never ask why. Never ask why, but look at the character and the nature of God. If you ask God why, it'll cause you to waver and you'll lose the fight. If you ask God why, you'll get bitter, resentful, and you'll leave church and stop serving God, and the devil will win, and you'll give up your faith and you'll give up your trust in God. It's not a gunfight. It's not a knife fight. It's not a fist fight. It's a faith fight. Satan wants you to give up your trust and your faith in God. So no matter how long it takes, no matter what's going on, remember, God didn't answer Job when Job asked why. God said, look at my character, Job. I'm a good God. So what you need to be doing is you need to be looking at the nature and the character of God. And no matter what's going on in your life today, declare, God is a good God. And God never changes. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And He's good to me. You look at His nature and you look at His character. Am I helping anybody today? I promise you it works. Now, let me give you three today, three takeaways, okay? Let's go to Ephesians chapter 6, Ephesians 6 and verse 10. All right? Finally, my brethren. Now, if you're a note taker, you might want to write this down. He's given us spiritual power. Number two, He's given us spiritual weapons. Number three, to fight spiritual battles. Number one, He's given us spiritual power. It's called the anointing. He's given us spiritual weapons. It's called the armor, seven pieces, to fight spiritual battles. So here we're going to look at the armor of God that God has given to us. The Apostle Paul's in prison, and he's looking at a Roman soldier. He's looking at the pieces of armor that they wear, and he's likening it to spiritual revelation in our walk as Christians. So look what he says. Finally, my brethren. Now, when he says brethren, who's he talking to? Christians, brethren and sisters, okay? Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Let's just say it together. Be strong in the Lord and the power of His might. Now, we all know that you can interpret Scripture with Scripture. I've taught you that, right? In verse 11, he says, put on the armor. Before you can put it on, you got to be strong. So many Christians, they say, oh yeah, I put on the armor of God, Pastor. Okay, how do you do that? Well, you know, I get up in the morning and I say, today, I'm going to put on the helmet of salvation. Now, there's nothing wrong with this. It's imagination. It's visionary. I think it's great. I even do it myself. I put on the helmet of salvation. I put on the breastplate of righteousness. I put on the belt of truth. I have the sword of the Spirit, feet shod with the gospel of peace. But guess what? Just by naming them, you're not putting them on. Just by declaring them, envisioning them, you're not putting them on. Notice that you can't put them on until you first get strong in the Lord and the power of His might. So he says in verse 10, he says, be strong in the Lord and the power of His might. Notice the term power of His might. It's the same term that Jesus used right before He went to heaven after the crucifixion. He said to His disciples, go to the upper room in Jerusalem, wait and tarry until you are endued with power from on high. He said, you wait now. Don't you go out and start your ministry. Don't you go out and fulfill your assignment or even try until you go to the upper room, tarry in the upper room to be endued. Everyone say endued. To be endued with power on high. Same phrase here, power of His might. Endued means be clothed with. What was Jesus referring to? The upper room experience. What was that? Being baptized, being filled with the Holy Spirit with the evidence of a prayer language. Praying in tongues, praying in the Spirit. So notice that you and I, one way how we begin to put on the armor of God is to learn to walk in the Spirit. So number one on your screen, it will be filled every morning with the Spirit. You and I cannot put on until we become strong. And we can't become strong in our own power. We need a greater power. We need the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen, church. We need the power of the Holy Spirit. We need the anointing of God. So before you can put on the seven pieces, he said you first start by wearing the armor by every day. Number one, make sure you're filled with the Holy Spirit. What does that look like? To be filled with the Holy Spirit simply means to walk in the Spirit, to be led by the Spirit, to listen to the Holy Spirit, to know what grieves the Holy Spirit. Do you know there are some TV programs, some movies, and video games that the Holy Spirit doesn't like? If I'm going to walk in the Spirit, if I'm going to be led by the Spirit, if I'm going to be filled with the Spirit, I've got to say yes to the Spirit. I've got to every morning surrender to the Holy Spirit, yield to the Holy Spirit, and declare that I hear His voice, and the voice of a stranger I will not listen to. I have to make my confessions, open my heart. I have to say yes to God before I can say no to the devil. Are you still with me today? I think you are. So notice, number one, you got to get filled with the Holy Spirit. You got to be strong in the Lord and the power of His might. You got to be endued and clothed with the anointing, with the power. How do you get filled? How do you walk in the Spirit? Kenneth Hagin said the most important thing for any Christian above everything else is to know how to be led by the Holy Spirit. To know how to be led by the Holy Spirit. So there are a lot of Christians getting beat up, and they're really Christian streakers. They haven't put on any of God's armor because they don't know anything about the Holy Spirit. They haven't partnered with Him. They're not cooperating with Him. They're not fellowshipping with Him. They don't have a relationship with Him. They're not yielding to Him. They're not listening to Him. And so how can they put on the armor? Because you can't put it on until you're filled with the Holy Spirit. Am I helping anybody today? So he says, let's go back there again to Ephesians 6 verse 10, can we? Ephesians 6 verse 10, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord, the power of His might. Verse 11, put on the whole armor of God. Now, remember that there were seven pieces. And the armor on a Roman soldier with their backpack weighed 120 to 130 pounds. Boy, you'd have to be strong. You'd have to be an Army Ranger or a Navy SEAL, right, to be able to do that. You'd have to be strong. So if we're going to put on all of our weaponry, we got to be strong in the Lord spiritually. If we're going to face our battles and win our battles and fight our fight and finish our race and look back and say, we gave full effort. I and my son, we've been a part of CrossFit workouts for years. And one of the terms for a CrossFitter is full effort, full reward. Full effort, full reward. What are they saying? Don't come to the gym and lift a piddly weight when you can lift more. Don't come to the gym and gripe about the push-ups. Don't come to the gym and gripe about the pull-ups. Don't come to the gym and do 8 when you could do 10. Full effort, full rewards. So what is he saying? For it to be a good fight, you got to be all the way for God. You got to be intentional. You got to be devotional. You got to dedicate and consecrate and say, God, I'm in it to win it. I'm not going to have one foot in the world and one foot in the church. I'm not going to live beat up as a Christian. I'm going to fight a good fight. I'm going to finish my race. I'm going to look back on my life and say, I gave it everything I had this Christian walk. Oh, praise the Lord. All right. Next verse, verse 12, tells us who we're wrestling against. Verse 13. Verse 13. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you'll be able to what, church? Withstand. Withstand in the evil day. An evil day is when everything that could go wrong does go wrong. So even on the worst day of your life, this is what will get you through. He said, on the evil day, having done all, he said to what? Notice the two words, withstand and then stand. Two different Greek words, two different definitions. So let's look at the first one. Withstand in the Greek is talking about using your God-given authority. Using your God-given authority. So what is he talking about? It actually means withstand. It means to draw a line in the sand, push the devil back, and tell him no. It means you take your authority, and you're sick and tired of being sick and tired, and you say, devil, enough is enough. I'm going to withstand this attack. I'm not going to give in to it. I'm going to draw a line in the sand. I'm God's property. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Take your hands off of me. Take your hands off my family. I push you back and I tell you no. That's withstand. That's withstand. So number two, you got to start exercising your God-given authority. You've got to start withstanding. You got to draw a line in the sand, push the devil back, and tell him no in Jesus' name. Now, I can't walk in authority unless I'm under authority, right? The Bible says, submit yourselves unto God, then you can resist the devil. So if I'm rebelling against God, if I'm sleeping with every other, no, we won't even go there. If I'm cheating on my, no, we won't even go there. If I'm taking things from work that don't, no, we won't go there. If I'm doing things that are not in alignment to God and I'm not submitting my life to Him, then drawing a line in the sand, trying to push the devil back and say no, won't work. I've got to submit myself to God. I got to say yes to God before I have the power to say no to the devil. So I withstand. Number two, I use my God-given authority. Again, as a team comes out, withstand means you draw a line in the sand. You know what you have. You know who you are. You know what you can do. You push him back and you say no. Number three, are you still with me, church? Number three is the word, let's go back to that scripture again, verse 13. We got it up there for you, but can we, there we go. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you'll be able to withstand. What does that word withstand mean? Use your authority. How do you do that? Draw a line in the, and you push him, and you tell him in Jesus' name. And then having done all, to stand. Now that doesn't mean be passive. And then to stand there. That word stand in the Greek means have a vision. See yourself, this is number three, standing at the end of the battle. At the end of the fight, see yourself with the trophy, with the belt, with the wreath, with the crown. See yourself, it's talking about having a vision of victory. Having a vision of victory. It's like calling things that be not as if they already were. If you're going to get through the worst season, the worst day, the worst moments of your life, and you're going to fight a good fight, then you're going to have to stand. And it actually means see yourself, have a vision, call things that be not as if they already were. See yourself not defeated, not destroyed, not weak, not in debt, not in despair, not discouraged, but see yourself at the end of this thing, victorious and overcomer and standing at the end of the fight.